Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouth of the babe and nursing infants, you have ordained strength, because of your enemies, that you may triumph the enemy and the avenger.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained.
What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?
For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor.
You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet.
All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field.
The birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, the cattle of the mouth of the beasts.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Amen. Okay, Psalm 8 is one of our favorite songs to sing. Everybody knows this. As we read through it, the metrical version is probably going through a lot of people's heads because this is one of the more familiar, fun songs. As we read this, we think of mankind in general. We think of God and His might and His majesty in creation and in His providence. But as I've been saying lately, or for over a couple years now, let's look at it in context with this latest cycle of Psalms that we've been going through. If you'll remember, over the last, this is the sixth Psalm in the cycle, where we've been looking at Jesus on His ministry on earth, as He announced Himself, as He suffered for us, as He died. And then last week we looked in Psalm 7 more and more how Jesus being raised to the right hand of the Father makes room for His people, makes room for God's people in God's mercy. How He brings us to salvation that we might be there to praise God. And now as we look at Psalm 8, which I firmly believe is the crowning psalm in this cycle, we look at not what God has done for us, but we look at why God has done what He's done for us. Why did God save us? Why did God save me? More to the point, why were you saved by God? Is it because you were a wonderful person? Is it because you were holier than those around you, and so God decided to save you that last little bit? Were you more savable than other people that you know that haven't come to Christ? Why have we been saved? What is our purpose? And the psalm starts out with, Lord, our Lord. Or if you look at it, it's really Yahweh, our Adonai, the covenant name of God, Yahweh or Jehovah, who is our Lord and Master. We have both the one who is what He is, and who is then our Lord and Master. Not just our God, but our God and our Lord. Now this, right at the very beginning, should make us think of what's commonly called the Lordship controversy. Can you have God as Savior without having Him as Lord of your life? And the answer is simply no, you can't. And we see that right here. When looking at salvation, it's Jehovah, our Master. He is both, or He's neither. How excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. The purpose of our salvation, of our very existence, is the glory of God. That is why we are here. No other reason. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the avenger or the enemy and the avenger. What does this mean? How do we go from here? Well, the point of this is that out of the weak things of the earth, out of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Out of one born in a manger, if I could push this just, I'm not even pushing it, but if I can go that far, you have ordained the strength it takes to defeat Satan. Out of one who has emptied himself and become man, the Lord has destroyed his enemies, not just ours, your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. This does not mean general, lots of little people who are after God's people or trying to harm God. But Satan himself has been destroyed. God's enemies, because of the weak one, Jesus, who came to bear sin. Now, you may think I'm pushing this or I'm taking it too far. But I would suggest, if you think that, that a simple turning to Hebrews 2 and reading the first 8 verses, you'll see that it, well, I'll quote starting in verse 5 through 8, "For He," meaning God, "has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet.'" We see that whoever wrote Hebrews, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, quotes this psalm. And quotes this psalm not talking about some general thing that the Jews knew about back in the day, but looking to the Savior, looking to the Messiah. This psalm is speaking of Jesus Christ, not just us and not some vague mankind. But what is man? Well, in this case, man is the Messiah. Man is the Savior. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained," you notice the sun's not in there. Just the moon and the stars. Now, that's an interesting thing. Some of the commentators have said the sun has been taken out because if the sun was in view, you couldn't see the moon and the stars. And so to look at the more intricacies of God's creation, you have to look in the dark. Others have said the sun comes up and the sun goes down, and that's nothing special. But when you throw the moon and the stars in there, you get seasons, months, and years. And you see a greater providence looking at the sun and the moon, or the moon and the stars. Look at those, and you see all the things that God has ordained. And what is man? What is one individual? What is mankind? Now, this, by the way, is something you'll hear the atheists say. Look at the great things out there in heaven and how wide the universe is. What makes you think God cares about this little mud speck or some little species that lives on it and the greatness of everything that's there, even if there is a God? Well, God uses that very thing to show that the human race, and Jesus in particular, is special. What is man that you are mindful of him and the Son of Man that you visit him? Who is the Son of Man? I would suggest that whoever typeset this Bible made a mistake and that the Son of Man should be capitalized. Because they're not talking about Matthew being the son of this man. They're not talking about Samuel. He's my son. They're speaking of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. What is he that God the Father in his glory in heaven should even care? "For you, the Father, have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. As he's raised up, he's still flesh. He's a little lower than the angels created on earth because the angels don't have the weakness of the flesh. And I'm not going all Gnostic on you. But in his role as God-man, the angels were there to help him. But he was man. He was bound. He was limited. But he's been raised and crowned with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea." The Christ, Jesus, the Messiah, is not just master over his people. And we hear people say, "Well, I haven't accepted God, so I don't have to believe in him. I don't have to follow his law." But even the birds and the fish are subject to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our God saves us not because he wants us in heaven, not because he owes us anything, but through us. His Son is glorified. Through the work of His Son, the Father is glorified. And as we worship Him, God's great glory is shown forth on the earth. Our purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And part of glorifying Him is, as we're doing now, gather together as the body of Christ on earth, to sing to God His glory, to praise the Lord with our voices. And now a quick plug for Exclusive Psalmody. Do we do that with the weak words of man or with the perfect words of God? We do it with the words He's given because He knows how He can be praised best. And we'll do that by singing Psalm 8b.